checking I'm on. Good morning. Great to be here. Lovely to be here. I always look forward to being here. And it's always interesting, actually, how it is. I mean, we know one another, and I've been here a while. If you don't know me, Jonathan, I'm the moderator of the church. Whilst you don't have a team leader, minister, I'm here to guide the church. Great privilege. I get introduced in all sorts of different ways. It's really interesting. I went to a church last year, and they gave a very proper introduction. This is Jonathan Edwards. He used to be the general secretary of the Baptist Union, which leads the 2,000 churches we have. And people were sitting there thinking, sounds really boring. Anyway, and then they said, but you might be interested to know that Jonathan has a son-in-law who's appearing at the moment in the West End in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And they all together went, wow! Duly put in my place. The only reason for mentioning that is we went to see it last night. And this is fantastic, amazing. I got in at 2 o'clock this morning. Our train had hit a tree, bless, on the way to pick us up from Reading. And anyway, so if I go to sleep, you'll know. That was really my reason for saying that. Privileged to share this fantastic passage with you, and I hope it will stretch us, because I think God means to do that with his words. I'm going to pray and just pray that God would guide us in that. Father, we thank you for the power of your living word. Thank you that your word is always faithful, and you love to speak your word of life to us. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us this morning that we will be ready, however tired we may be, however distracted we may be. We pray that we may be able to hear what you are wanting to say to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Angie, for reading this passage. A really interesting passage, isn't it? We're getting towards the end of Jesus' ministry. We've just had the transfiguration, you know, when Peter, James, and John went onto a high mountain, not quite sure which mountain it was, but gone to this high mountain, and Jesus had been transfigured before them. An amazing moment in Jesus' ministry. They come down the mountain, and they run into this sort of pastoral situation where a man is complaining. It's quite reassuring, in a way, isn't it, to know that Jesus received complaints. You know, it sort of feels like normal life, doesn't it? So they're complaining, this man. It's a really distressing situation. He's got this son. We can't say exactly what the condition is, but he has fits. Maybe he's epileptic, could be something else. And he's asked the disciples to heal the lad, and they have failed. And Jesus responds, and this is where I think it's really quite interesting, with exasperation. We don't hear him like this a lot, but he's heavy, isn't he? Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I have to stay with you? How long will I have to put up with you? Bring the boy to me here. They bring the boy. He casts out the demon, and the boy is fine. And the disciples ask the question, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus answers, as we heard, because you have so little faith. That's the reason. Tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Before I get any further with this, can I deal with this mountain business? You know, I mean, it's Jesus. I want to take his words really seriously. Are you being serious? Are you actually saying we should have the power? If we had enough faith, we could shunt mountains. I mean, it'd be quite fun, wouldn't it? It would change prayer meetings, wouldn't it? You know, suddenly you turn up, you find Snowden in the middle of Eastleigh. And you say, yeah, but we had a really powerful prayer meeting last night. You know, so, I mean, it would change things. Is that, well, forgive me, it does appear to be what Jesus is saying. Is that what Jesus is saying? No, it's not. Clearly it's not, because it's bonkers. It would be no help at all, would it? It'd be a lot of fun for a while, but very disruptive. So he's not talking. There's no evidence in history of mountains being shunted around by people of faith. However, this is an expression that we're actually very familiar with already in the Bible. You think of passages of Isaiah, where it talks about God coming in power and leveling out the ground, moving the mountains, letting the highway for the Lord being prepared. So we know from the language of the Old Testament that this picture of mountains as being overwhelming obstacles, enormous problems, that's what we're talking about. What Jesus is saying is God is so powerful that he is able to shunt even the biggest problems away. And let's just encourage you for a moment. I've seen it happen. Some of you are too young to have seen it happening, but most of us here have seen it happen a number of times. Go back just a few decades. First time I actually spent a night outside this country was in 1979 in Romania. I went behind the Iron Curtain, and it was an extraordinary experience because it was into another world in every sense. Everything, it looked different, it smelled different, it worked different. It was weird, I tell you. I remember us going from Otopeni Airport in Bucharest into the center of the city, and you saw long lines of men with shovels coming in from the fields in serried ranks, and you know, vast communist headquarters. And the whole thing was extraordinary behind the Iron Curtain. And it was it not, unimaginable that this great communist bloc, that the Iron Curtain could ever come down. 10 years later, it did. As a result of many people praying. We did pray. The mountain was removed. It's gone. It doesn't exist. Think of another one. Let's keep with the 70s for a moment, where we're talking much about apartheid in South Africa. And that was the system, the separation of black and white. That was the way in which the whole country worked. That was the foundation of everything. Couldn't really believe it could ever come to an end, but it did. I am not saying South Africa has no problems with such issue. I'm not saying that. But I am saying the mountain moved, because that's what it did. Think of Northern Ireland. Often think of Northern Ireland. And again, not a place of complete peace, but there's no doubt at all that we've moved wonderfully from those years of desperate violence. 1972, 479 people were murdered. There were thousands of explosions within that year. The murder rate was 30 times what it is on the mainland. Those figures have now returned to, we're all in the same place. There's evil everywhere, I know that. But the troubles of Northern Ireland, for which we prayed for so many years, they did move. I just want to encourage you. Real mountains of insurmountable problems, as it seems, do move. Be encouraged. But then think about your own life and think about the mountains you've seen move. It may be a mountain of financial problems, a mountain of relationship problems. And you're thinking of a moment in your life, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I don't know when it was, when you couldn't imagine, you couldn't see beyond the mountain. It was just so big. Or maybe drug dependency, alcohol dependency, some other form of dependency. And just couldn't imagine that would ever go, and it did. So be encouraged. What I want to do in the next few moments, because faith is right at the heart of what we are as the people of God, I want to just unpack faith with you. It seems to me so crucial. And firstly, we need to be clear about this very word, faith. What is this faith? The faith that we meet in the New Testament is confident faith. Hebrews 11:1 is interesting because it's not the language you think of. Normally, when you think about faith, you think about faith versus facts. You think, oh, I like to depend on facts, known facts. I'm scientific myself, you know, like to know the facts. Faith sounds a bit sort of wishy-washy. Here's what the writer says. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There was a philosopher in the 19th century who used to talk about faith as being a leap in the dark. Kierkegaard. That was such an unhelpful expression. A leap in the dark. I would like to commend to you the idea of you never taking a leap in the dark. Seems a completely stupid idea. And God doesn't want you to. I don't think he wants to take you a leap in the dark. I think he invites us to take a leap, but it's a leap in the light. He says, look at creation. Look at all the evidence I've given you in creation. Okay? Look at that. Look at history. Look at the way in which I've led my people for thousands of years. Look at the church, the testimony of the church around the world. Look at Eastleigh Baptist Church, because it's in front of you. Look at the way in which God has worked through his people here. Take a leap, but a leap in the light of your own personal experience of the living God. Take a leap. Certainly, that is faith, but a leap in the light. So confident faith, and that's what we read of in the whole of it, Hebrews chapter 11, where we see these great saints from the Old Testament, these great men and women of faith. Fascinating list, surprising list. All sorts of people you might not have thought would have made it. But they're there because they were men and women of faith. So faith is not something that's unsure. It's not something wishy-washy. It's not sort of sentimental. Let's hope it all works out. No, faith is being sure of God, building a rock, knowing we can go forward secure in him. But this faith also is a growing faith. Faith is not like to have faith and to be part of the church. It's not like just having a membership card. Oh, I belong, I'm in. That's the end of that. Faith is something which grows. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, kindness, and to kindness, love. It's a beautiful sense, isn't it? So you know God, brilliant, lovely. You have faith in God, wonderful. But let's see that grow. Grow in all sorts of directions. Often the analogy is used with faith of swimming. I think it's a very good one. It's particularly powerful for me because I didn't learn to swim. As a child, with my own children, we've just thrown them in swimming pools and told them get on with it. And they swim like fish, and that didn't happen to me. I got to my how stupid is this? We live by the seaside, and I couldn't swim. And I remember by my mid-teens, this is pathetic, this story, but just feel sorry for me. My friends would say, oh, John, can you come? I was tending called John at the time, wasn't my name, but can you come swimming with us? And I said, I've got a bit of a cold. You know, again, I could never tell them. I didn't have the courage to tell them. I can't flipping swim. I don't know how to do it. I joined a group because I was so embarrassed about this. When I was 16, I joined a group. Forgive me. There's no sexism anywhere in this story. But I did join a group of middle-aged women. And I tell you, by the end of the first lesson, I was swimming. I was determined to prove I could do it. Anyway. You know with swimming, that first stage is about actually having faith in the water. First, you think, well, I might sink. I might drown. It could be the end of everything, you know. And you just have to have faith and say, well, actually, water knows what it's doing. It can support you very happily. You know, we know that to be true. But you do have to have faith in the water. And so as you grow as a swimmer, you've learnt that water can hold you. You can't just sit back in a chair and go, you know, and think, oh, no, I'm great at swimming because I've been sitting around for hours doing it. You know, you only learn to swim and grow as a swimmer by swimming. The only way in which you grow in faith is by stretching your faith, by doing more and more faith things. And I really do want to ask you this question. It's a sort of takeaway, reflect question. How is your faith growing? How is it developing? It will not be developing without resistance. You need the resistance of the water. You need the challenge of the water to grow as a swimmer. So in order to grow in your faith, you need to take on challenges. I seek to do this in my own life. I know that it's very easy for life to be very comfortable. I've taken on, in the last 6 months, I was reflecting as I drove down here, 3 challenges which are well beyond me over the last 6 months. And you're not one of them, bless. You're lovely. But 3 challenges where I've had to take a deep breath with all 3 because they're big problems, big problems. And I don't go into them immediately thinking I've got the resources and the background, but I've got God, and I know that's what I should do. And I only ask you to do what I do for myself. Look for the challenge, the thing that is a bit harder, there's a bit of resistance, the water, you know. it will take you to new places. Fantastic seeing oceans. I mean, all I'm doing is preaching about that song, aren't I? You know, going into the deeper water, the places where we don't feel completely safe. We should have confident faith. We don't need to have doubts in our great God. We need confident faith. We need growing faith. We need to grow it. But the third word I need to use is daring faith. We need to step out with God. Abraham, I love the story. This is the classic story of faith, isn't it? Chapter 11, verse 8. He heard the voice of God. Wealthy man, old man. He hears the voice of God. And he steps out and goes out not knowing where he is going. Why? Because God has told him to. It's all he needed. He steps out. All the human circumstances would say to him, because he didn't have Google at the time, he didn't have all the information about where God might take him. All the indication is that this was downright irresponsibility to pick up his family and his camels, the whole thing, and go heading out, not knowing where he was going. That doesn't sound sensible, folks. It doesn't. But when you know God, you will find that God takes you on adventures. God takes you beyond your comfort zone. He takes you to places which are a bit scary, but he does them because he loves you, because he wants you to grow in faith. Friends, where are you stepping out at the moment? And this applies to everyone. If you love Jesus, you need to be taking that next step. I thank God for all the testimonies I've heard in churches, and you've heard them, and they've probably been told here, of people who tell this story of how they did a job in the church and they promised to do it for 3 months because there was a particular need. And that's now 35 years ago, you know. And you think, that doesn't sound very clever, but that's about stepping out. Stepping into something where you might feel really, really out of your depth, but you just know God is asking you to do that. I bless you, those of you who have taken that step. You've moved into an area that wasn't your natural area, didn't seem to be the natural place to serve, but there was a need, and you heard that need, and you wanted to support the folk, and so you did that job. God bless you. As you step out in faith, God will honor you for that, and God will train you. God will give you what you need. He's not stupid. God does this HR business. You know, he will make sure you have just the right spiritual gifts and knowledge and understanding to be able to do the job for him. My friends, step out in faith. I was reflecting as I wrote this, how, in a sense, this message is slightly different here from how it is in the majority of churches. You are not like the majority of churches. You know that. The overwhelming majority of churches, the overwhelming majority of churches in all denominations would have fewer than 50 members, and many of them many, many fewer. There are many lively, important churches in this country which will have a couple of dozen members. And if they're to continue to do the work, people have to stretch themselves well beyond their natural competence. They just have to. There isn't an accountant in the room. There isn't somebody who's ever spent their lives adding up numbers. But they need a treasurer. They've got to have a treasurer. And somebody steps forward and says, I'll take that on. You know, bless them. We have many people here, but hear it, we still need you to step out. I said to you, I think last time I was here, I went to the coffee shop pastors meeting. What a fantastic ministry we have in Wells Place. What an incredible, incredible opportunity God has given to us. We could do with more coffee shop pastors. I'm not saying you should all do it. I'm just saying more people should do it. I'm happy to say that. More people should do that because the opportunities God gives us are just so generous. Maybe that's where you need to step out. You do street pastors, see reference to that. Nobody goes into street pastoring and say, oh, I'm an expert, I'll be great. You know, it's not like that. It's just, in my experience, it's just lovely, godly people just saying, I haven't got a clue, but I'm willing. I'm willing for God to give me the gifts I need. I'm willing for God to give me the training I need, and it will be given. I'm willing for God to give me the uniform I need, which will be receiving. Do you know, stepping out with God. But stepping out, can I push you somewhere else, which is on witnessing? We like to live comfortable lives. I'm not getting you at you any more than I'm getting at myself. We like comfortable lives, don't we? We like to feel safe and secure, and therefore we will tend to share our faith with people who will give us a good response. You know, people that, so long as they're smiling enough and they seem really friendly and they seem on our wavelength, we will share our faith. But to go to that person who we think pretty sure is going to laugh like a drain when they hear that we go to church and we love Jesus and we don't want to go there. And perhaps I'm saying to you, God is calling us to take that step of faith, to go to those places which are not so comfortable, to be obedient to him. I love the vision journey that we've had. I think it's been incredibly, incredibly insightful and helpful. Okay, good. So family's the big thing. Family in the church, encouraging one another in family life's great. Remembering we're all part of family. We're not just talking about nuclear families. We're saying the quality of relationships, which makes us family as a church, is really important. And we're going to take that message out to the community. We're going to reach out in Jesus' name. I promise you, that's a really tough agenda. I'm sure you probably worked that out. Really tough. It's going to cause us to engage with problems and difficulties the like of which we've not seen hitherto. That's all part of it. And I'm saying to you, as we believe this is God's calling upon our lives, we need to go forward in faith. We need to be willing to step forward, not just doing those comfortable things which we think are within us and we should be able to manage that. I'm not talking about stuff we can manage. I'm talking about us doing in God's name and the power of the Spirit stuff we can't manage. And we'll just do it because we're being obedient to him. So friends, here's the word of Jesus. The word of Jesus that you have only a little bit of faith, even a little bit of faith. We can move mountainous problems. We live in a society with mountainous problems. Be clear about that. I think we are. Let us step out in faith so that our testimony together will be in the name of God, in the power of the Spirit, through the faith that we've been given. We are a people who move mountains. Amen.